Good afternoon, everyone. Romance author Rusty Blackwood here. It is September 26, and it is a very kind of a cloudy, gloomy, rainy day outside, and I am going to read another chapter from my five-star romantic fiction drama, Willow's Walk, that has just recently been re-released. This is chapter 3. It is called Youthful Innocence or Chosen Ignorance, and I hope you enjoy it. 3 delightful years passed with Willow and Bernie spending every free moment they could find together. This was not an easy task, for school was always a problem, but from Monday through Friday evenings after Willow had completed her homework, they would burn up the telephone line whispering sweet nothings into the receiver as if it were actually into each other's ear. But when the weekend arrived, they would spend it however they could, doing whatever they could, and enjoying every second. What wonderful times they shared. Youth is such a fantastic blessing. Energy never leaves. Anything is possible, regardless of the endurance required to see it through. When it came to making proper choices, Willow had never been an easy child, but she had been raised to respect herself and conduct herself accordingly to the inexplicable rules laid out in each woman's monthly periodical of the time, each bolstering instructions as to the reader's stellar conduct of oneself when being courted by the opposite gender, especially when that young gender is feeling his wild oats and hoping to sink his throbbing manhood into his lady's moist inner sanctum. It was an ongoing problem for Willow, for how could she hope to hold her young stud at bay and grasp his love in her hands without first giving in to his wanton needs, worse still, the possibility of his finding it elsewhere if she did not. It had been a quandary every woman since the beginning of time has had to figure out. Willow was no exception in this area, and she not only grappled with Bernie's desires, but her own. Each time their hungry lips touched, the fire burned hotter, fanning smoldering embers into full-blown flames within each of them, yet they held fast. Mary Sutherland could be proud of what had been instilled in her rebellious daughter, as well as the determination being shown in her conduct. One could only hope the late Mrs. Whidbey's pride shone brightly for her son's conduct as well. Time moved on, and as it did, it brought the younger couple closer to experiencing all love has to offer each time Bernie's searching fingers found their way up Willow's quivering inner thighs. Should he touch what he wanted, or slide his probing hands back down? Willow was no further ahead, for each movement of his fingers found her clit, hoping they might inquire entry, and if they did, could she accept what she so desired? Torture can come in many disguises, and trying to choose the proper one to evade is the pure and utter result of the game. Surely no one would know if they succumbed to the enormous desire to explore what love is all about, a nip, a taste, a quick immersion into lust, lust of the flesh, the total essence of what everyone shouts about. Still they restrained, knowing the wedding bed must be the first to witness the dance that ends in the ultimate carnal act. The spring of 1967 arrived, and with it sadness to the family through the death of Willow's aged grandfather. She found his passing difficult to endure, much more than she ever thought she would, for she had come to understand the true meaning of his teachings, and the difficult time following his death often found her memory recalling their wonderful times spent together. Though hard in many ways, they had been happy times, bringing with them a feeling of safety and love that could never be broken. Through her grandfather's unyielding guidance and enduring love, she had come to understand the true meaning of family and all that encompasses. It evoked many emotions, most important of which is the unbreakable bond that blood kin share, and the immense pride in knowing this bond could never be broken. Willow knew her grandfather would never be truly gone, for his spirit remained within all of them. It brought her ever closer to her father, and if her earlier connection to him had not been intense by way of measure, it had now cemented to a consistency beyond breakage by anything. Willow sat at the sewing machine, completing the final touches of her graduation dress for the anticipated ceremony being held in the high school gymnasium in less than 2 weeks. While the machine hummed its placid tune, she found herself retracing her childhood, savoring with wonderment each memory conjured, and smiling when each one began its performance. All the fun she'd had, the delightful times spent with Megan and her cousin Will during their assorted escapades about the farm and the surrounding countryside. But these memories always brought her back to her grandfather, their time spent together, his passing, and how little the hurt had actually lessened during the time that had since lapsed. Still, as much as sadness weighed heavy on her heart, it could not suppress the joy she felt in becoming Mrs. Bernard Whidbey when the coming summer presented itself. The dashing, dark-haired Bernie was everything she had ever hoped for. He even doted on her as much as her father did, which may not have been the wisest decision on his part, but he loved her as much as she loved him, and would do whatever was required to ensure her happiness. Summer was not long in coming, and with its stifling heat, little rain, and a most anticipated wedding in the whitewashed Methodist Church of Smith Falls, family, both Sutherland and Whidbey, filled the pews to capacity as Megan Patterson, tossing wildflowers, preceded the bride down the aisle. Holding tightly to her father's arm, a nervous Willow stepped cautiously toward her handsome groom, standing confidently at the altar, his best man standing in support beside him. Willow was 18. Bernie was 21. They were young, in love, with their entire lives ahead of them. The first few months of their marriage was like a dream come true, for every day spent in their own living quarters in the back of the Sutherland house was pure bliss. Bernie was Willow's first lover, wild, lustful, passionately removing her virginity as if it had been created solely for his taking. He took her often, and she couldn't be happier. His touch was pure magic, the magic of a young man in love with avenues to discover, areas to explore, and total fulfillment between the thighs of the woman he had made his own. Willow, whose idea of marriage was like something out of a fairy tale, was living her dream. All was grand. Why wouldn't it be? She was Bernie's wife, as well as her father's princess, with the best of both worlds at her feet. What more could she hope for? The following summer brought another delightful chapter to Willow's life in the form of her first child, a son, whom she named Benjamin Bernard. She may have been a mere 19, but she was bound and determined to be the best mother a child could ever hope for. Everything seemed perfect. She was living what appeared the perfect life. Yet in reality, all is not always as it appears. The strain of living under someone else's roof was beginning to take its toll on the young couple. Bernie had not been happy for quite some time, but he never let on anything was amiss. Daily activities carried on as though nothing would ever change. The farm continued to function, and Bernie continued to do what was expected of him. He wanted to please his licentious wife because her happiness resulted in his own. Still, regardless of how he tried, it just wasn't working. Furthermore, he knew it. Living with their in-laws, though they were extremely good to them and did their best to afford the young couple privacy, was not the same as having their own home with their own privacy. Many times Bernie tried imploring his young wife to come away with him to a place of their own, yet as much as she loved being his wife, she loved being her father's princess fully as much and could not bring herself to leave. Innocence is not always as it appears, for she knew a wife's place first and foremost was at her husband's side, and though she wanted to be there, she knew she was not yet ready to leave her father's home. She may have been innocent in many ways. After all, her age was not that of someone who had experienced life to any extent, yet she was old enough to realize that the way she felt was wrong. But ignorance is often chosen. Even a mere 19-year-old knows this. Still, she turned a blind eye to the situation and chose to ignore the most important problem facing her. Before long, they were on each other's nerves, fighting almost daily. They could not even do that in private. But try as she might, an amiable solution could not be found. And on the same hot July night in 1969, while the first man walked on the moon, Bernard Whidbey, son or no son, walked out of Willow's life.